as always, thank you for being here with us today at New Beginnings Church.
Right. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you can hold them up for me, we are going to make our declaration that we do every single week. Come on, let's do it together. This is the Word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Pastor Eddie mentioned, we are working on a sermon series called The Signs of Christmas. So beginning today, the first sign that we will talk about is the virgin birth. Next week will be the sign of the star. The following week is the sign of the swaddling clothes and the manger. And the last week is the sign of the stumbling block. You know, throughout biblical history, God has spoken of signs to help people see and understand his involvement in humanity. During creation, God used the lights in the sky as a sign to serve as a marker for sacred days and for years. After the flood, God gave the sign of the rainbow, a mark, a covenant between him and mankind. Then he told Abraham that circumcision would be a sign of the covenant between him and God. God used signs to display his power to the Egyptians. He used the sign of the blood over the doorpost to act as a sign delineating between the Egyptians and the Israelites. Throughout history, God has used signs to prepare and to warn his people that he is working, that he is moving. There are signs all around us, just as there were signs during the day of Isaiah. If you could turn to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The word says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." The prophet Isaiah, approximately 750 years before Jesus, prophesied the birth of the Messiah. This sign is definitely significant. He was to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Why is it important that God was with us here on earth? Because in Genesis, when the devil was cast out of heaven with all of his cronies, God gave him dominion over the earth. That the earth would be a place where he can roam and he can do his business. But when God had had enough, he sent a sign to his people and said, "I will now stake my claim in this spiritual warfare that is being fought there on the earth." It was heaven and earth colliding together with a collision where the enemy knew that his time was running short. You see, the virgin birth was a sign. Did they possibly think that Isaiah was crazy? Yes. Because Isaiah, virgins don't have babies. Isaiah, don't you know that virgins having babies is impossible? Isaiah, are you sure you heard the right thing? Are you prophesying or are you prophelying? Because we don't really know and understand what it is that you are saying. But there was something that Isaiah knew. There was something in his heart that he knew. He knew 1 John 3:8 that said, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. You see, the virgin birth is important because God was staking his claim in destroying the work of the devil right here on earth. Spiritual warfare is real, folks. Just turn on the news if you're not sure. Everything that's going on is spiritual warfare. Every day in your life, when you get up and you raise a hallelujah, you are crushing the devil's head under the heel of Jesus himself. So God said, that's enough. I'm sending a sign. And the son will be born of a virgin. That's the sign you got to pay attention to. But unfortunately, as we humans do, when time passes, we get distracted. We ignore the things going on around us. The things we should be paying attention to, we don't. And we miss the signs. We miss signs every day either because we're ignoring them or we're distracted or we just don't want to pay attention to them. And so this sign that was prophesied about the people, they may have begun to lose hope. See, between promise and fulfillment, there's something called anticipation. When God makes a promise in your life and you have to wait for its fulfillment, you have to anticipate its coming. That's called hope. You anchor yourself in the hope. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter what it looks like. If you're anchored in hope, you know the fulfillment is coming. Do you have a promise today that God has given you in your heart? Do you have visions? Do you have purposes in your heart that God has given you and you don't understand? How can it come to pass? How can it be? I don't understand. But Lord, I wait in hope. I wait expecting. I wait with anticipation because it's not if you're going to do it. It's when you're going to do it because you are God. And when you say something, it's going to happen. Do you believe that today? So the people, maybe they just lost their focus. Maybe they lost their hope because they weren't watching for the signs. All throughout the Bible, people were missing the signs. Don't you think that when Noah was building that big old giant ark, that a neighbor may have said, "Hey, Noah, what you doing over there? Can I come and lend a hand?" But no. They said, this guy's crazy. See, faith will make you look crazy until it starts raining. The ark was a sign that they missed. The Egyptians, they missed the signs that God was sending. Why did it take 10 to let his people go? I don't know. They were ignoring the signs. They were not paying attention to the signs. They missed the signs. Sometimes signs can be missed if we're not paying attention. If we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord, we can miss the very signs that he has sent for us to say, keep your eyes and your ears open because I'm coming. So in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we find the story of Jesus. I know you're very familiar with this story. I used to tell my students, I know you've heard this story so many times, but open your heart, open your ears to hear something new, because this is the living word. It's alive. And it can be for you in the season that you are in today. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Today we're focusing on the sign of the virgin birth. You see, the virgin birth is true. The virgin birth is real. If the virgin birth was not true, you can just stop reading after that verse. The rest of the Bible is a sham. It's a lie. You're a fool. But at the virgin birth, we know when this was fulfilled that we can trust anything in his word from the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation. It is true. It is real because he was born of a virgin. The virgin birth is significant in the Christmas story because it reveals three things. The first thing that it reveals is that Jesus is born in a supernatural way. In Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, let's read about this supernatural birth. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One born to you will be called the Son of God." You see, the angel is telling Mary, "Hey, Mary, I need you to wrap your head around something. Your body is going to house the Messiah, the Savior. You're going to be an incubator. You're going to be a vessel to carry the Messiah, the one that was prophesied about 250 years ago. The fulfillment is coming, and you are highly favored. I am going to use you." But you see, Mary may have physically carried the human flesh, Jesus, but you also carry him inside of you every single day. And you have an opportunity just like Mary. See, there's a plan and a purpose that God has inside of you that's just kicking around, and it's alive. And it's when you wake up in the morning, you feel it. You're thinking about it. You're focused on it. And you have a choice. You can carry that purpose, or you can bury that purpose. You can carry out this purpose in your life, the one that God has called you to, or you can bury it deep down in your life and say, "Lord, I'm going to keep on running." You can ask Jonah how that worked out for him. But you have a choice. And Mary says, "I'm highly favored, and so are you." And he uses you to carry who he is into this world. And it's a supernatural thing. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it in your own human strength. Because look what the angel said. That the Holy Spirit would overshadow her. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. There is no human effort besides surrendering yourself to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, where do you want me to go? Overshadow me with your Holy Spirit." It's in the strength of God the Father and the Holy Spirit that allows you to walk out your purpose. You see, Mary had to quit thinking in her human terms. You gotta stop doing the same. You gotta start saying, "Lord, okay, I know that you've put this purpose, this burning inside of me. I know that there's something greater that you want me to do. But I don't know if I can do it. I don't see how the plan works. I don't understand." You have to put your human thinking aside. See, that's what Pastor Eddie shared with us last week. He said it's not man's logic, it's God's wisdom that allows us to carry things out in our life. You're not going to understand it. If you could, he wouldn't be as great as he is. Do you understand? It's the Holy Spirit that's going to overshadow you with this supernatural birth in your life. If Mary could do it on her own, it wouldn't be that great. To me, that's a physical representation of religion. See, religion is just a big old giant list of things that you can do on your own. I will not, I will not. In my own strength, I'm doing all these things. You don't even need a God for religion. But it's relationship. It's the supernatural relationship that he is chasing after you for. He wants to know you. He wants to be with you. He wants to spend time with you. There is supernatural moments that happen when you allow the Holy Spirit to overshadow you in your life. You're going to do things you never thought were possible. As a 12-year-old little girl with my little glasses and I've seen pictures. It was terrible. It was terrible. The situation was terrible. I'm like, Mom, really? That's what you did in my hair? I never would have thought that God could take this mess and use me to send his message out into the world. When you tell people that I'm a worship leader, I'm the most unlikely. I don't hear the things my husband hears. Preston probably gets frustrated at me with the notes sometimes that I hit and this and that and the other thing. And people think it is the most unlikely. But when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I have the purpose inside of me that he said, you're going to carry my word through preaching. You're going to carry my word through music. I didn't understand how. I didn't doubt him, though. I said, Jesus, I will give my life to you. Use me for how you want me. It is not through my own strength. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord knows it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's very unlikely. But that's what he uses. He uses the unlikely, and it is a supernatural thing that he does because he was born in a supernatural way. In Matthew chapter 1, we learn that Jesus had no original sin. This is the second significant part of why the virgin birth is so important. Because Jesus had no original sin. Verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Are you pregnant today through the Holy Spirit? I just feel like God is speaking to someone in this place right now. There is something in your heart that God has given you to do, and you just don't understand how it can be fulfilled, but you're pregnant with the Holy Spirit, and in his time, it's going to burst forth. He's stirring that up in someone right now in this place. He has something greater. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. The people that you're around, you're going to make them afraid. And it's not you. It's the Jesus inside of you that makes them afraid. They don't feel adequate enough. They don't feel, you know, maybe you're judging them, whatever the reason is. It's because it's conceived by the Holy Spirit. You let them decide on their own if they're going to carry you through this path or if they're just going to be hate. They're going to hate. Haters going to hate. Just let the haters hate. But you be focused on your plan and your purpose that the Holy Spirit has put inside of you. Let him be the center of your focus. Verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. You see, Jesus had no original sin. He was born of a virgin. It was through no human effort. It was only God. And because it was only God, he had no original sin. When we're born into this world, we are born under Adam, the nature of Adam. He was the first sinner because he broke favor with God. And we've been suffering in those consequences all this time. So in order for sin to be taken away, something greater than Adam had to come to take it away. And it was Jesus. He was born with no natural sin in his life. He is the one. In John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. There's a lot of maids in there. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Verse 14, The Word became flesh, and His dwelling was made among us. We have seen His glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, the flesh. Jesus left heaven, and He was born in human flesh. He chose to walk around in this boundary-filled, stinky, rotten, yucky flesh because He knew His greater purpose. It was kicking around inside of Him. And He was going to carry it out. So the Word became flesh. Can you imagine this? And He dwelt among us. He walked where we walked. He talked the talk. He ate the things that we eat. Maybe not everything I eat, but He ate. He was human. So you see, long before Adam came to be, Jesus was already there creating with the Father, knowing that He was the one that could forgive our sin because He had no natural sin. In Romans chapter 5, verse 17, "For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people," that's under Adam, "so also one righteous act resulted in justification and people and life for all people. For just as through this disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous." You see, the one who was born without any natural sin can be the one that takes your sin away. It enabled Him to be the perfect sacrifice to cover the sin that you have. And let me remind you of something. There is no sin. There is no sin too great that God cannot forgive. It does not matter what you feel or what you think or the lies that the enemy has shamed you and placed in your heart. God can forgive that sin. If He couldn't, as I said earlier, He wouldn't be as great as He says He is. And I'm telling you, He's as great as He says He is. So you may be sitting there today thinking, you know what, I'm in this place and they're singing all these songs and all these people around me, they look all nice and clean and tidy. They can't possibly have any sin like my sin. Jesus knows and Jesus can cover it. In the name of Jesus, shame, you have to leave. He can cover your sin. He can cover your sin because He was born with no natural sin. The third thing is that Jesus was born completely human. Now, I just told you He was born in a supernatural way through a virgin birth. And I told you that He was born with no original sin. And now I'm telling you that He was completely human. I can tell you I don't understand it. And I can't explain it. But I believe it with all that I am. He walked this earth as a human. Look at John 1:14. "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth." It was the Word. It was the divine expression of God Himself colliding with human flesh. And there He was, fully God and fully man. Why is that important? For Him to have been fully human. Because He has experienced everything that you have experienced in your life. We don't want a king that can't relate to us. We don't want a king that we need compassion from and they haven't experienced what we've experienced. And so they say, well, I can't relate to that. I don't understand where I'm supposed to go. Jesus was fully human, able to relate to you right where you are in the point of your life that you're in your season, in your time. He can relate to you, and He can be the great I am, the all that you need. He, completely human. It really does baffle me. I don't understand it. But what comfort it brings me to know that I can go to him and I can pour out my heart and I know that he understands. So much compassion. In Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, and that is the devil, and free those all their lives who have been held in slavery by the fear of death. Anybody know anybody walking around in fear? We live in, I feel like, a fear-controlled country right now. Yes, we know these things are real, but Jesus is real too. You know, I thought about contact tracing the other day. This is kind of random, I guess. Contact tracing, and I thought, okay, so if I have the virus and then, you know, I spread it to someone and they let that person know and they could spread it to someone, we could identify who they're spreading it to. And I thought, do I have contact tracing with Jesus? Have I spread Jesus to the people that I know? Could you call the people up that I came in contact with and they would say, oh, yes, I know that they know Jesus because she interjected me with Jesus? Am I just spreading COVID or my viruses, my flu, my whatever around, or am I spreading Jesus too? Because if I'm here to spread COVID and not Jesus, there is something wrong because he's more infectious than COVID. We have to come to a point where we understand that he is completely human and that fear has no hold on us because he already defeated it when he was in his flesh. No more. Verse 16, for surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to rejoice that my God, he's not asking me to die for him. He sent somebody in my place. There is no other God. There is no other God in this world that's like him. There is no God like our Jehovah. He understands you. He has compassion for you. He has been tempted. He gave you the words that you can say, that you can speak to the enemy, that he has to get behind you and under your feet. And it's in that precious thing called a Bible. That is the word of God. That's where our battle takes place. So don't be upset when you stumble. Don't be upset when you sin. Know that God can forgive you. And because he has walked this human in this human flesh, he can pour out that grace upon you. In Romans 5, beginning in verse 19, for just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ, who was born in a supernatural way through the virgin birth of Mary. He was born in a supernatural way. He has no original sin, and he was completely human. This is the Jesus. This is the Jesus that we serve. How is it so many miss the sign? I can tell you, I don't know. But I don't want to miss any signs. I don't want to miss any signs of my life. I don't want to miss any signs of the purpose that he has put inside of me. I don't want you to miss any signs of the purpose that he has put inside of you, and I don't want us to miss the signs of when he's coming back, because y'all, he's coming back. Jesus is the only reason for the season, and this Christmas we're going to make sure that his name is declared above everything else that we do in this church, and I pray, and in your home. Come on and stand up with me. You see, the first time that Jesus came, he came as a quiet and a gentle baby. He came as a long-awaited promise that the people were waiting for fulfillment in. But I can tell you, next time that he comes, he's coming loud, and he's coming with power and strength in his arm. And he's coming riding on the clouds, and he's coming with fire on his eyes. He's coming, and I don't want to miss the signs of his coming. Because if God said he's coming, y'all. We have to be aware of the signs. We don't want to miss it like they missed the birth of Jesus. We want to be ready. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we want to make you not only the center of this Christmas, but also the center of our very life, Father. And Lord, we don't want to miss one sign that you have for us, God, because we know the Holy Spirit can overshadow us and that we can walk through our purposes because of the signs that you've given us. But Father, if there is one person in this place or even watching on the other side of this camera, they have not made you their Lord and their Savior, Lord, I pause now in this moment as the Holy Spirit is working in this place. We pause for this moment. If you would like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior of your life and you have not asked him, just raise your hand. If you want him to be Lord of your life, I just want to give this opportunity this moment. Father, I thank you for every person in this place, for every person that's on the other side of this camera, Lord, for every person that has heard this word that comes straight from your mouth, Father God. Let it resonate inside of them, Lord. Let it rise up inside of them, oh Father God, that it would help them to fulfill their purpose, Lord, not in their own strength, but only through God. And Father, as we move forward through this Christmas season, as the signs of Christmas here on earth with the traffic and the gift buying and the dates of things that have to be fulfilled, Lord, let us focus on you, Jesus Christ, the only reason for the season, Lord. Let us focus on you and every person that we encounter. Let us say Merry Christmas to them. Let a boldness and a courage rise up inside of us that the words that would come out of our mouth would allow them to know that Jesus is why we are celebrating and no other reason, Father. So, Lord, as you're moving in this place, as you're moving in hearts, Lord, let us go from this place safe and protected and blessed from the top of our head to the soles of our feet because we have come to experience Jesus in this place. Let us never be the same, and it's all because of Jesus. And it's in your mighty name that we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. You have a blessed day, and we will see you next week. Pastor Eddie will be here for our next message of the signs of Christmas. Have a great day. Be blessed.